Several weeks back, Larry Palmer asked me to speak on kindness. And I said, Larry, that's cruel to ask me to speak on kindness. Kindness is a subject that I've never heard anyone speak on, at least for a whole sermon. And it's a subject that I don't think I ever particularly really studied. But lucky for me, I'm married to an expert on kindness. And so I've learned a few things over the years about kindness. When we think about kindness, our thoughts, our ideas, are shaped by what the world thinks. I used to think that I was a very strong-minded person, independent of thought. And the older I get, the more I realize that the world has taken my mind and twisted it. In fact, Abraham Kuyper in, 14th century, a little later than that, said that the effect of sin on the mind was to warp the mind. So the more we sin, the more our mind becomes warped. The more we're involved in the world, okay, the more our ideas about what is right and what is wrong and what the scriptures teach are shaded, are colored, are twisted. When we think about kindness, well, what is kindness? Kindness is, according to the dictionary, the quality of being warm-hearted and considerate and humane and sympathetic, a tendency to be kind and forgiving, a kind act. According to the world, kindness is something you do. I looked up kindness on the internet and found this just amazing passage, and I'll read it to you. It was written by Chuck Wall, a PhD. A PhD guy must be really smart, right? An act that positively influences the life of both the giver and the receiver is a kindness. It doesn't have to cost money or be difficult to perform. It can be spontaneous, random, or premeditated. It can be as simple as a smile or a thank you, as complicated as starting a nonprofit organization to benefit those in need. Kindness has four working parts: dignity, respect, compassion, and humility. If you have all of these things for yourself, then you'll be able to share them with others. If we reach out with dignity, respect, compassion, and humility, we are likely to feel it being returned. Actively seeking out opportunities to assist others will naturally bring a certain amount of warmth and feeling of self-worth to each of us. It feels good to help others, and others feel good knowing someone wants them to help. Consideration or helpful are words often used to describe a kind need. And here I thought was the especially offensive part of this definition of kindness. Kindness is what you define it as, rather than what someone else thinks you should believe it is. I suggest all people actively attempt to live by my phrase, "Today I will commit one random act of senseless kindness. Will you?" Well, this is the way the world looks at kindness, okay? As some sort of pablum, as some sort of salve that you can give out, and that makes you feel good. That's the anthem of today's society, okay? If it feels good, do it. This paragraph is a great illustration of First Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The world's definition, okay? Get a warm and fuzzy feeling. Do something nice for somebody else. Isaiah 5:20 is a verse that applies to our world today. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil, that put darkness for light, and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Today, we fail to recognize that there is a chasm between us and those who are outside of Christ. We are different. Now, some of you may take offense to that and say, well, I'm not weird. Okay. Well, we are different as believers. We are not the same as unbelievers. We often, to my surprise, try to be just like the world. We try to be normal and fit in. I remember the, reading for the first time Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life. We are different by nature because the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are alive. They are dead. This is kind of a basic difference, don't you think? They are dead. We are alive as believers. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We have life. We are alive. And our life is not temporary. It's not for a short period of time. It is eternal life. This makes us different from those who are outside of Christ. They are dead. Revelation 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before before God, and the books were opened, and another book which was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books according to their works. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We are whole. They are only two-thirds. Right? Our spirit is alive. We're born again. Their spirit is dead. By nature, we have communion with God. We have fellowship with Him. They do not. There is a difference. We are free. When we came into the body of Christ, we were freed from the bonds of sin. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. We're all slaves. Christians choose to make Jesus Lord. We are free. We are free to do what is right. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Those who are outside of Christ are not free. They're slaves. What did Jesus say in John 8? I say unto you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Those who are outside of Christ sin because they are slaves of sin. They are incapable of doing anything else. Oh, do all people outside of Christ exhibit the worst kind of evil at all times? No, certainly not. There are many people who are outside of Christ who do great acts of kindness. Okay? But they are different from us. They are different from us. We're alive. They are dead. We are free. They are slaves. We are children of God. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and join heirs with Jesus Christ, because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. We are different from unbelievers. We are the children of God. They, on the other hand, are the enemies of God. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. We're talking about kindness and we're setting the stage. We're saying that for us, kindness is something very different from those who are outside of Christ. Why? We are alive. They are dead. We are free. They are slaves. We are children of God. They are enemies of God. Our future is the bliss of heaven. Corinthians 2:9. We all know that verse, right? Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Romans 9, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. As believers, we have nothing but good things to look forward to. There's coming a day when we will be ushered into his presence, and it will be a day of joy, a day of bliss, a day when, as believers, we realize the full meaning of being children of God, of being heirs, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. While our future is bliss, the future of those outside of Christ is unspeakable. Loneliness, eternal suffering, eternal death. The picture that most people paint of hell is, it's going to be a rough place, but I'll be there with all my buddies. The book of Jude describes death and hell in this way. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Loneliness, darkness, complete abandonment, no one to talk to. This is not a very bright future. Brothers and sisters, we have a bright future. We are children of God who will someday be in his presence to enjoy it forevermore. Those outside of Christ, they're enemies of God and they will pay the price. We are winners. They are losers. We fail to recognize the chasm that is between us and those who are unbelievers. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. For them, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. We are alive, they are dead. We are free, they are slaves. We are children of God, they are enemies of God. Our future, the bliss of heaven. Their future, loneliness, suffering, eternal death. We are winners, they are losers. We are the standard, they seek a standard. We are by nature kind. They are, by nature, cruel. There is a difference between believers and unbelievers. When unbelievers talk about kindness, they're talking about something about which they know nothing. Wisdom is understanding life from God's point of view. So, what then is the biblical definition of kindness? Kindness is a word found only about a dozen times in the New Testament. It's not a word that occurs very often. In many cases in the Old Testament, the word kindness is not a word that is used to describe God's people as much as it is a word to describe God. Our God showed loving kindness. Certainly, selecting me, loving me, dying for me is an act of utter kindness. Because there was nothing in me that deserved any of what Jesus gave me. He was kind. He is our example. You know, sometimes when we think about Jesus, we should follow in the steps of Jesus. Okay. Well, I'm going to suggest this morning that if we're going to look at kindness in the Lord Jesus, we need to look at the stops of Jesus. The times that in his busy life he stopped to show kindness. Kindness is what we are as believers. It comes from the inside out. It is not something we enforce on ourselves. Galatians says it this way: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is a reflection in our popular culture of what Popeye said: I am what I am. Right? Living within me is the Holy Spirit. When I accepted Christ as Savior, I was changed. I am a different person because the Holy Spirit regenerated me, gave me new life. It is the nature of believers to be kind. Why? Because there's something unique about us? Yeah, I guess so. Because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We are different. The Holy Spirit lives in our bodies. On the other hand, it's the nature of unbelievers to be cruel. Well, you say, Bill, I know lots of unbelievers who have done many kind things. What do you mean it's their nature to be cruel? Well, just as it is our nature to be kind, and often we are cruel, so it is their nature to be cruel, but often they're capable of kindness. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. And Paul goes on to explain, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So believers are not perfect. Believers do not always do the right thing. There are some believers here who have been cruel to other believers in this assembly. So what do I mean when I say it is the nature of believers to be kind? I mean that within us lives the Holy Spirit, and he is building within us a character, and that's what we're talking about here over the last few weeks and in the future. We're talking about building character. And as believers, we do not strive to be good, to be kind. We are, by our nature, good and kind. There's a big difference there. The Scriptures encourages us to be kind. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. This is the Scriptures encouraging us to be what we are. I am what I am. The Scripture is saying, walk in the Spirit, and when you walk in the Spirit, these things will be true of you. I remember very early on in my Christian life listening to what I call browbeaters from the pulpit, who would say, you got to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do this, and this, and they would pound and pound and pound. And one day I recognized that while the goal of what they spoke of was certainly my goal to be more like Christ, that there were that the path to become more like Christ was not to be a better Bill. No, the path to being like Christ was to walk in the Spirit, to live the normal Christian life. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Yeah, Christ was kind to me. And to other believers, I need also to be kind. Colossians, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness. So we come then to the example of Jesus in kindness. If as the world thinks, okay, the world says, well, kindness is feeling good about something you do for somebody else. Okay, if the scriptures teach that kindness is just being ourselves, being believers. Okay, let's look at the example of Jesus. He fed the hungry. He comforted the grieving. He healed the sick. He stopped to help people. The Savior was never too busy. He was never preoccupied when needy people came to him. The example of the woman who had an issue of blood, and she touched the hem of Jesus. I guess if I was in a crowd and somebody bumped into me, I would see it as an offense. Wouldn't you? Hey, watch who you're bumping into. Not the Lord Jesus. He took it as an opportunity to be kind. His ministry was marked over and over again by the times when he stopped what he was doing and took time to pay attention to an individual. One of the questions as a male that I ask about kindness is, the world says basically, kindness is for wimps, okay? If you're going to be a real man, okay, you need to be strong and independent. You can't be influenced by the minor things of life. It's very interesting when you look at the example of Jesus. Okay, was Jesus both strong-minded and kind? Yeah. He was kind, compassionate, forgiving. Okay, but never tolerant. In our world today, okay, that is the sine qua non of being a good person. Tolerance. Jesus was never tolerant. Never tolerant of sin. He never accepted sin at face value. Okay, but he was kind, forgiving, compassionate, merciful. But tolerant? Show me the scripture, please. When he faced the Pharisees, okay, there was no tolerance. You are white as sepulchres, he said. You are of your father, the devil. There was no tolerance for sin, for evil, for wrong. But there was always, in the ministry of Jesus, time for mercy, for compassion, for giving. I like what it says in Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion, kindness, to one another. How? Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. But they, that's the Israelis, refused to pay attention. stubbornly they turned their backs and stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words of the Lord Almighty that he had sent by his Spirit through earlier prophets. So the Lord was very angry. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. Zechariah 7. Can we be strong-minded and kind? Absolutely. And we have the example of Jesus to illustrate that. Do we need to bend the truth to be kind? No. You know, it was always very interesting to me that those people who were outside of Christ that I had a good relationship with, I never had to say to them, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that. You ever notice that? When they're with believers, they know the difference between right and wrong. They don't need us to convict them. Because the Holy Spirit does a great job of conviction. And because the Holy Spirit's living in you and living in me, when we are with them, there is always going to be a measure of conviction. That conviction can be responded to by your friends who are outside of Christ in two ways. It can be rejected. Oh, you're always so, goody-two-shoes. Pardon me? What did I do wrong? They can respond very negatively. I believe that that was true of the Lord Jesus in his ministry. The bottom line on kindness, the Lord said, with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you. With everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you. So, if we are to be like Jesus, we are to share kindness. Not because it makes us feel warm inside, not a random act of senseless kindness, as the world would have us do, okay? But to share from our spirit, to be who we are, children of God in a dark and evil world. Those whom God has separated from the world. You know, again, we try to meld in. We try to kind of fit in. You look at teenagers today, and this is where they're at. They want to be part of the world. And if they're believers, they can't be. They are different. We are different. We are, as Peter says, a peculiar people whom God has decided to separate, to make holy, to build up, to give untold blessings to. So kindness. What's the bottom line then for you and for me? Well, if we're believers, then we ought to be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. You know, that doesn't say fruits of the Spirit, as I hear many teenagers say. Okay, that's fruit of the Spirit. It's one thing. All of those characteristics are being built up in me, in you, by the Holy Spirit. We can slow down the progress of that building by ignoring the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But if we walk in the Spirit, then he is building those characters, those characteristics in our life. I like the words of Proverbs 12. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. So this week, how can you encourage the body of Christ? Okay, if we talk about kindness, we say, what does the Scriptures teach? And it's interesting to note in, 2 out of 12 times that kindness is used in the New Testament, or 13 times, that we are directed to share that kindness with other believers. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Be kind to one another. So this week, how can we encourage others in the body of Christ? How can we share kindness? Certainly, looking at the nature and work of Jesus, we need to take time to show kindness in our busy lives. Okay, and if the 21st century means anything, it means rush here, rush there, do this, do that. We need to stop to show kindness, to be who we are. What does the army say? Be all that you can be. Well, we can be like the Lord Jesus. We are not often enough like Him. So let's purpose in our hearts today to follow the exhortation of Scriptures, of the Scripture, to be kind to one another, and to show acts of kindness like the Lord Jesus did, to stop and help others. Not because we get a warm, fuzzy feeling. Not because we choose to define what is right and wrong for ourselves, as this first paragraph I read said. But because being kind is who we are. Because Christ was kind to us. We now sit accepted in the Beloved, exalted, heirs and joint heirs, and we need to share that kindness with others. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Let's close in a word of prayer.